This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It's a Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and we are glad that you have tuned in. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about God's Word and how important it is for us as believers to live a life of love according to God's standards. So that's where we're going to be. We're going to return to Luke chapter 6 today. But before we get there, I'd like to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Right about now, there's a lot of people who are thinking about having projects done. It's not super hot yet, but those days are coming, and they're coming very quickly. You know, hurricane season's just a couple of weeks away, and if you've got a project that you would like to get taken care of, maybe before the daily thunderstorms, and it involves concrete, Jits Concrete may be a great resource for you. They've got decades and decades of experience. They're what I call experts in all things concrete. They know the materials that are needed, the codes that are in place, how to get the permits that are needed, the connections to make. They know how to prepare the site, pour the concrete. They know how to get the best price on the concrete. They know how to finish it, clean up, and get out of the way so you can move forward with your project. If that sounds like something that you could benefit from, you can give them a call, 321-536-5804. Decades of expertise, a great work ethic, and they just have everything needed to get a successful project from concept to completion. 321-536-5804. We thank the Anderson family for their support of the Refresh radio program. Today we're going to go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And I'll read from verse 32 all the way down to verse 38. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so we've been talking about this lifestyle of love that God has for us and how it is to be of a greater quality than what the world is accustomed to. The world is accustomed to people who look like you, think like you, act like you, and deal with things the same way that you would deal with them. And so there is a relationship or an understanding. And so they kind of take care of their own. Jesus is calling believers to demonstrate a lifestyle of love, not only to those that are of same mind, same mindset, but towards those who are radically different and even hostile toward believers. And so you may think that there are not many people who are all that hostile to Christianity. I would tell you that according to the things that I've heard, that there have been more people martyred for Christianity in the last 125 years than in all the rest of human history. As recently as Easter, there were still dozens and dozens of Christians being martyred for their faith just in one country. And those are just the ones that are publicized. So not everyone is thrilled with Christians. People who've embraced an unbiblical ideology, they oftentimes, because their worldview is in conflict with the Bible, they often have a hostility to Christianity and people who believe the Bible, that God meant what he said and said what he meant. They often express hostility towards people because they hold a different viewpoint. And I would tell you that Jesus died on the cross to save them. And so in the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, which was a story about David Wilkerson going and ministering to some gang members in New York City back in, I believe, the 1970s. But he went there and there was a gang leader who took out a switchblade and threatened to cut him into 1,000 pieces. And he said, you could do that, and each one of those 1,000 pieces would be crying out that Jesus loves you. And I can tell you that person became a former gang leader. He became a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it was that radical display of love in the face of open hostility that brought this hardened person's heart to being receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the ministry of Teen Challenge started there. And by the way, if you have family members or friends that are addicted to drugs, Teen Challenge is a ministry not just for teenagers. There's Adult Teen Challenge. There's Teen Challenge for men. There's Teen Challenge for women. There's Teen Challenge for boys. And there's Teen Challenge for girls. And the thing that is required to get into a gospel-based ministry, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that here in just a minute, but you've got to have a desire for change. And so if mama wants you to change, but you don't want to change, they're not going to let you in. If daddy wants you to change and you don't want to change, they're not going to let you in. The person has got to be open, because it is not just a treatment program. It is a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where God comes in and changes a person from their innermost being outward. And so it is a discipleship program. And if, you know, you're sick and tired of being bound and addicted, God could really help you. And they have a tremendous success rate, where a lot of programs have people that come back over and over and over again. The success rate for Teen Challenge at one point in time, I think it was high as like 87% or something like that. I don't know what the current success rate is now, but it's a great program. It is so successful that there was a country who was adamantly opposed to churches and the presentation of the gospel. And they contacted Teen Challenge and they said, "We have such a bad drug problem. We want you to come and establish a center here in our country." And they said, "You do realize that we're not offering a program. We're offering relationship with Jesus Christ that results in life transformation." And they said, "Our drug problem is so bad, we do not care that you will preach Jesus." And that's what God can do. So we've got to be willing to love our enemies. And it says that in doing so, our reward will be great. We talked a little bit about that on yesterday's program. Listen to this. And it says, "And you will be sons of the Most High." In other words, when we are loving as believers the way that God loves, that we are reflecting the spiritual DNA of our Heavenly Father. Where people can look at the genetic aspects and discover family ties and things like that here on earth from physical characteristics, in the kingdom of God, it's a spiritual connection. It's a connection between our Heavenly Father and His children. It is not so much about appearance. It's about lifestyle. It's about conduct. And if our Father is God and He is love, then we as His children will also carry on that same lifestyle. It says that's what God does. That's what God's kids do. They love the people that are not easy to love. It's not the same standard as the world where you love people who are just like you. No, we love people who are radically different because God loves them. And what is it that we as Christians are trying to become? We are trying to become people with the same heart that God has. So it goes on and it describes this particular nature of God, and it says He is kind. That means that He is good, He's benevolent, He's kind, and that's his nature. He's good and benevolent and kind. He does the right things. That's why He can work all things together for the good of those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There was a person that came to Jesus and said, "You know, good master, hey, would you address this situation?" And Jesus said, "Why did you call me good?" He did not deny that He was good. He just asked him to explain why He had called him good. And then Jesus went on to say this: "There is none good but God." So if you're trying to manufacture goodness out of your own nature, you're going to fail miserably. If you're trying to become a kind person without God, you're going to fail. I would also say this, that if by nature we are not good and we are not kind, we need to go back to Jesus and you know, say, "Would you work in me, because I am not the same type of person that you are." So I've met some people and I said, "Man, their next act of mercy will be their first one. that they're just not some easy people to be around. And that does not reflect the nature of God. It doesn't. And so being a pastor is not about bossing people around. It's not about, you know, forcing an agenda through and things like that. Being a Christian and being a pastor are both about becoming as much like Jesus as we possibly can be. God is kind. And he is so kind that there is not going to be any sin for all of eternity for those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's so kind that he has made forgiveness available to all through the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, he is perfectly good, perfectly kind, perfectly love, but he's also perfectly holy and perfectly just. And if a person does not want a relationship with him, that's not the heart of God. God wants a personal relationship with other people, but a person who does not want a relationship with God would be miserable for all of eternity in God's presence. Heaven is for the redeemed. It's for the transformed. And it says that God is kind. Now listen to this. Not just to believers, but he is kind to the unthankful, to people who are not grateful. This may surprise you, but the majority of America is richer, has more luxuries in our everyday life than probably 99% of the human beings who have ever lived on planet Earth. Our sociological challenges are not due to lack of conveniences. There are some serious spiritual needs in America. There are some serious mental needs in America. There are serious emotional needs in America and around the world that God wants to resolve for us. There's an old song that talks about he will make us every way whole. That's what God can do. So he is kind. He is kind to believers. He loves his kids. If you're a child of God, you are loved by him. He will never love you any more than he does right now. But there is a difference between being loved and being pleasing. John Bevere talks about that. So our job is to be as obedient to God while reflecting his nature, not just because it's out of duty, but being thankful for everything that he has done for us. So a few weeks ago, I was on my way back. I had a very challenging week and a half, and I stopped to visit a friend, Danny Duvall. And when I stopped, he and his wife opened their home to me. They took me out to lunch, took me out to dinner, and I didn't have to pay for anything. They treated me with such hospitality, and I will tell you that it was some of the best 20 hours or so. That's about all I was there. I was en route back to Florida. It was so refreshing. We were able to have conversation about God, about ministry, what God has done for us. So thankful that he built our friendship. And I was just overwhelmed with gratitude for everything that they did. And that's just a small window of how good God has been to us. Remember when you first heard that somebody died so that you could live. Remember when you first came to grips with the fact that Jesus shed his blood to wash away your sins. There are people who go through life, and if you gave them $1 million in pennies, they would be mad that you didn't give them $1 million in $100 bills. They're just not thankful. That's a problem that needs to be corrected. We should all be people who have gratitude because God has been so, to quote a song that's out there, and my grandson loves it and sings it at the top of his lungs. God has been so good to me. And he's been that good to you too. Don't forget to say thank you. Expressing thanks is a sign of spiritual maturity, and it has benefits. It brings personal benefits to us. Instead of living a life of entitlement, you live a life of gratitude for God's kindness to you. He's not only kind to the ungrateful, but get this, he is kind to those who are evil. So Jesus said he makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. This word evil means that they're morally bad, they're in an undesirable condition. They're spiritually worthless, they're spiritually bankrupt, and they're in painful situations in life. And God says, I can be kind to you even when your spiritual alignment is all out of whack, when your spiritual tank is completely empty, it's the supply is inadequate. That's when Jesus can come in all of his fullness, in all of his glory, and fill us with power. You might think that God, there's no way that God could be kind to such and such person. And I want to remind you about the Apostle Paul. He started off as Saul, the persecutor of the church, very zealous about his relationship with God, but it was an uninformed relationship. He was highly educated and highly uninformed. You can be both. He was highly zealous and highly evil. And Jesus came and changed his life and showed him great kindness and counted him worthy to be part of the ministry. Verse 36, therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. And that means demonstrate mercy and demonstrate compassion, because that's what God does. I had a phone call from my daughter. She does children's ministry, and she was asking a question about the relationship of, you know, Christians and the law. And I said, Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, and he came to elevate our relationship with obedience. And she's like, ooh, that's really good. I like that. There are a lot of people who believe that Jesus came, and therefore there are no standards of behavior, no expectations. And I will tell you that that is a mindset that is not reflected in the Word of God or by early believers. If that was the case, then there would be no reason to contend for the faith. The thing is that the Holy Spirit came to empower us and to give us the grace that is necessary to walk the life of obedience, not dotting every I and crossing every T out of a legalistic mandate, but giving us a heart that says, God, I long, I desire to do your will. I delight to do your will. Like I've said before, a lot of times people want mercy for themselves. They want mercy for their kids. They want mercy for their family members, but then they live a condemning lifestyle for everyone else. It goes in here, and we've already talked a little bit about this. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That does not mean that there are not judgments. It means that God sets the standard for judgment, not me. So if you have a problem with the Word of God, you have a problem with God, not with Bob. We are supposed to be people who are living a life of mission, of purpose, of mercy and compassion. We're not supposed to be living a life of condemnation where we're going around and condemning people. Listen, Jesus said, if you do not believe, you are condemned already. Jesus comes to make it possible to get that sentence of condemnation eliminated from your life so that you and I as believers can be sentenced to life. And so we're supposed to live a life of forgiveness. And the reality is this, is going to be our last statement here on this particular passage, is you are the one and I am the one that decides the measure that I will use. If we are loving, we are going to be loved. We're going to be loved by God even if nobody else loves us. We can love people that other people refuse to love. It's okay. If they don't respond in love, if they hurt me, an evangelist said a long time ago, if they hurt me, Jesus will heal me. If they kill me, I go to be with Jesus. I can't lose. And so make sure that you use the measure of love, that you use the measure of generosity, of being kind and of being good, and experience that exceeding great reward of the presence of the Most High. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.